Like, I feel as though that's the reason why I love jiu-jitsu so much, is because no matter even how good you are or bad you are, like, there's always someone better than you. And there's you're always going to be humbled. And I think that's a constant, never-ending personal development tool. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why you and I love it so much.
Welcome to the Fuel Hunt Show.
What's going on, Eagles? My name is Joey, and welcome to the Fuel Hunt Show. I am joined by my cousin and co-founder, Drew.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, last time I think I forgot to ask you how you were doing. I'm not going to make that same mistake twice. Not going to make it.
I'm living the dream, baby. Making magic happen every day, one hard worker at a time.
Very good. I love it. I love it. If you're watching the show on YouTube, which I highly recommend you do, you will see that we have all our accoutrements, all of our accessories.
Accoutrements?
Yeah.
What is that?
French.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are very cultured. One accoutrement we don't have is my boy Rocky Nelson from IG sent us a dope eagle head made out of like resin.
It's amazing.
It's sick. Yeah, it's amazing. It's sick as fuck.
It's amazing. So we got to get, we have to get something wired for that, I think. To hang it up. But
we may have to rearrange our backdrop. Like, I mean, we're
Dade's like, what are you doing?
It's in the works. It's in the works.
Dade's like, what are you doing to me? I just set all this up. Well, we do have some other things with us today, right? So let's call them out. Again, shout out to Dane, because for the past few shows, we didn't have Ernest with us. Mm-hmm. Ernest is here, the mascot from the Few Fest. I had to do a lot of apologizing to Ernest. He was upset that he did not appear on the show as regularly as he thought, but he's here. And of course, we have the Effort, bucket.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
For swearing.
We're not. Actually,
no, I can't say it. Okay. unless I want to deposit a 20, the consequence I have it, our nonprofit partner, which every once in a while, I think for emphasis, I will sneak one in. You know what I mean? Just to make sure that we're supporting them that little bit more extra. Oh, yeah. You know. All right, so
curse for a good cause.
We're good here. We're good here with the accessories. What else did I want to mention today? Oh yes, today more than likely will be the last day. I'm thinking, because it's getting warmer in Philly, that you see my beanie.
Dude, a lot of listeners and followers of Fuel Hunt and community members will be very upset to see the fisherman cap go.
I think that there's going to be some upset, but there's going to be some rejoicing too, I think.
I've answered a lot of more than usual amount of DMs and personal messages, like, what's going on with Joey's beanie style? Like, and there's some that are positive, like they like the style. I think it's a good look, but some people hate on the small beanie. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the issue is it's not over my ears. Like, people really take offense to it. I'm like,
but that's the fisherman cap style.
That's what I'm thinking. You know,
you're a trendy dude.
Look, I'm trying. Actually, it's more about decision fatigue, which is a real thing. Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why you always see me in black. Mm-hmm. I always have the same headwear on for the most part, because I'm hyper, hyper vigilant about the quality of the decisions that I make every day. So the ability for me to get up and know that I'm going to wear all black, I'm going to wear my beanie, there are less decisions
still
I have
fresh.
To make.
Yeah,
still less good. Decisions I have to make. So that increases the quality of the decisions I have to make later on in the day. But anyway, it's getting warmer. So I think that this will probably be one of the last
out of
shows.
Season. It's going to be out of season.
Yeah, unless I want to sit here and sweat, which I really don't want to. I sweat enough sitting in the chair here. So.
Well, Dane's got these new lights on. I feel it's kind of hot on there.
You think so?
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. It's kind of calming. We'll see how my dome feels about it.
Mood lighting.
Bit. Yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, all right. Well, we got the beanie out of the way. Today, I wanted to talk about jiu-jitsu, something I'm clearly obsessed with.
I love that for us.
Bruno, one of the few, part-time jiu-jitsu on Instagram, great jiu-jitsu skits. He just posted one the other day about your need to talk about jiu-jitsu like every 3 minutes to somebody, family dinner, wherever, and that is me to a T.
Yep.
And I owe that obsession to Fuel Hunt in a lot of ways, because if it wasn't for Fuel Hunt, the community, and some of our friends in the community, I would have never started.
Yeah.
So we wanted to kind of talk about jiu-jitsu today a bit, talk about our journey up to this point, a few years. We calculated, how many years have we been practicing jiu-jitsu now?
About two.
Okay. I got it wrong. I said like three or something.
Yeah.
I mean, my eggs got scrambled a couple of times, which we'll talk about. So maybe that's why I think we've got an extra year under our belts when we don't.
Yeah.
So let's talk about jujitsu a little bit today. You down with that?
Yeah, I'm down. I had my first. You know how I was making fun of you for getting injured?
Yeah.
At Martinez, but I had my first. I mean, I obviously had bumps and bruises and sprains and strains.
Yeah.
My first, like, pretty rough, like...
Fat lip.
I caught went to jump on a guillotine and caught a dome to the mouth, dude. And the inside of my lip swelled up. I haven't had a fat lip since I was in, like, grade school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it hurt pretty bad. Like, I forgot how bad a fat lip hurts.
Do you wear a mouth guard?
No, I just bought a few.
Okay.
So I'm going to start... they'll probably be there when I get home tonight. Yep. I'm going to size them up and just precautionarily. I never liked wearing them, but.
Yeah, so when
I was able to start, because I thought I was nervous that my tooth was going to be like through my lip.
Oh, for sure.
Or my tooth was going to be gone.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. When I first started practicing, I did not wear a mouth guard. And the same thing happened to me. I caught a headbutt. I actually fractured my tooth, which I didn't even know you could do.
Mm-hmm.
I fractured my tooth. So it was a little wiggly, but it actually ended up healing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it ended up healing. But that was the thing that pushed me to get one because I wasn't wearing one either.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to jump like right into the injuries.
No, that was, everyone should try this.
Yeah, everybody should try this. It's really great. Trust us. You'll get injured, but it's really great. It's kind of fitting that we started with the injuries because it's difficult, man. Like, you know, you're putting yourself out there in a lot of ways, physically, yes, but also mentally. So we'll get into all that. 2 years in, do you feel like this is something that you wish that you began to practice sooner in life, earlier in life?
Yeah, and I feel as everybody says that too, especially with the fact that I wrestled a little bit in high school, not very high level or good at that at all, but wrestling changed my life in so many ways, just being in the wrestling room every day with those guys and going through what we went through and just challenging ourselves physically and mentally on a daily basis made me a different human being than I was than before I started. But when we were in the wrestling room before practice, like messing around with some guys would be like, oh, I learned this jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu this or jiu-jitsu that. And it never caught my interest, but I've heard the word.
Sure.
And then, I mean, just to give you my intro story about how I got involved, I met Sean Brady and we hit it off and just got closer and became friends. And he was like, yo, you guys should make rash guards, right? And I said, what's that?
Yeah.
I mean, and that we'll tell that story later. But in that happening or transpiring is where my journey to jiu-jitsu started. So I was even more frustrated with the fact that I've heard about it and had wrestling experience before. And I still didn't start. So I kind of kicked myself for not being more inquisitive sooner.
Sure. Sure. Yes. I think that's an important life lesson, right? I think it comes back to, you were young, right? So I think it comes back to awareness, right? The more aware you can be and curious you can be at the earliest age possible, the better, because you'll be able to seize opportunities in life.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to see and seize more opportunities in life.
Yeah.
When I was commuting from Philly to Jersey for my first job in technology, there was this little building. It was like a row home on Delaware Ave underneath the 95 overpass. And it was next to like a psychic. It was like this little weird, like two row homes in a like pretty industrial area, like more towards like Poor Richmond. And right next to the psychic, there was a place and it had a sign and it said jiu-jitsu.
Just jiu-jitsu on a sign.
It just said jiu-jitsu on a sign. This is going back. Yeah, like, yeah. Dude, this is going back 20 years.
Well, you still see those today.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. And I remember driving by it and like looking off the overpass and being really curious about it and inquisitive, like, hey, what is that? Yeah. Like, I knew it was a martial art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But more so thinking like, man, that's something I think I would like to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I take my own advice. Like, I should have been a little bit more aware. I should have looked it up. I should have walked in the door, because I too feel like I would have been so much more productive as a human,
yeah,
right? In all ways, if I started jiu-jitsu sooner.
I agree.
You know?
And also be extremely nasty at jiu-jitsu by this point.
Well, I mean, if everything went well.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably
that is
20
a,
years later, a black belt.
That is a good lesson, though, to take from this is if you drive past something and you see a sign that looks intriguing, mm-hmm. like, go in. You know what I mean? Stop the car and go.
Depending on your belief, Chris Dawkins has like a similar type story, man. Like driving to and from like Penn State, I believe. And one day saw an MMA gym and decided to walk in, stopped and walked
yeah,
in, I believe.
I remember that.
You're right. It's a important, definitely important life lesson to be inquisitive and take the initiative. And depending on your belief system,
yeah,
maybe your line of sight
yeah.
was pointed in that direction intentionally
yeah.
by your higher power or something that you were attracting in the moment.
Yep.
So don't ignore the signs, like quite literally.
Exactly.
Like for me, I shouldn't have ignored the sign because there was something there telling me that you're going to love this. This is for you.
Yeah.
So
I used to, the same thing. I used to drive past where I started, Semper Fi MMA,
yeah.
every day on Rowan Street. And I just like, you always think, what is that? And why is it called Semper Fi? That was my question too. Like, why was it named after
yep.
something like that? And I just never thought to go in.
How long, do you know how long, when did Semper Fi open? When did Julio open?
Julio must have been there. Well, Sean Brady started there probably when he was, I believe like 20s, in like early 20s he started.
Okay. So what are we talking about? Like
so that's at least.
Late 2000s?
At least 15 years, 20 okay, years yeah. probably.
Because I grew up like 3 blocks from Semper Fi.
Oh, yeah.
Like I used to walk that block every day to go to yeah. school. So I wonder if it was there at the time. Like Rikers was there. Still
yeah,
probably
yeah,
still
yeah,
there,
still,
right?
Still there.
Rikers was there. I just don't know if Semper Fi was. But yeah, wild. So your story of how you got started is similar to mine, right? Because
yeah.
it's through association.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's why.
And
that's
I think I see a lot of these. It's very rare, I feel, as though in jiu-jitsu are these kind of stories where it's like, oh, I just stopped in and got a waiver. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have people in our lives that suggested we try this martial art or this
yep.
life-changing journey, then we probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, because no one in our family practices
no.
any martial
no.
art.
No.
Mm-mm. They're more street fighters. The Bowens are
yeah.
more street fighters. We'll get into
and
that.
Also
we'll get into that another
they
show.
Also think we're crazy. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, we didn't have it in our families, you know, so it was something that came to us through our Fuel Hunt family.
Yeah.
You know what I
yep.
mean? Since we didn't have it in our immediate family. One thing that I've said on a few shows is that I believe jiu-jitsu is the ultimate personal development program. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 100%. And that's why I recommend anyone who has a kid to get them into wrestling as early as possible. So my son, wrestling
or
martial arts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep.
This has been wrestling since he was 4 years old. And he's not, I'm not saying he's the most strong-willed, right, or knows how to overcome any adversity. But my goal with starting him in that is to build a resilient young human, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that if you get your head bounced off a mat day in and day out and can overcome that challenge or that adversity,
mm-hmm.
it prepares you for life and when you're going to get your head bounced off the mat in life.
Yep, yep.
So that's why I started him young. And does a small part of me want him to be a state champion that I never was? Potentially.
Yeah, I think that's natural. I agree with you. I'm going to get my daughters started this summer in jiu-jitsu at 7 and 4.
Yeah.
Cecilia, I believe Cecilia needs to be 5. So she'll turn 5 and then they'll both go in. And they're pretty much like, I have them in a basement now on the mats.
Yeah.
They're pretty much like wrestling each other at home.
Yeah.
They're very like, I don't want to say aggressive like my daughters, but they
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of are.
Physical.
You know? Yeah, they're very physical. So I believe that they're really going to enjoy it as much as someone that young can enjoy Well, enjoy it.
It's just interesting because Parker has gone through phases with wrestling, right? Because it's hard. It's hard to get your head to bounce on the mat and then show up the next day.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, let me try this jiu-jitsu thing with him. And I took him to jiu-jitsu and he's like, I love this. And this, and obviously, you know, we trained almost every day. But something about jiu-jitsu for kids, or at least the kids that take to it, they move so freely and fluidly because they're not thinking about, oh my God, what if I mess up? They're just doing jiu-jitsu and going with what their body is telling them to do. So the way they can figure out certain solutions without even know they're figuring them out is crazy.
This is not a scientific fact. This is just my opinion. Everybody can leave comments if I'm right or if I'm wrong. But I feel like as adults, as adolescents and adults, we have to work to become body aware, right? Like when it comes to things like strength training with squatting and deadlifting, or when it comes to practicing martial arts or wrestling, like we have to work to become body aware because as life goes on, we've conditioned ourselves in certain movement patterns or lack thereof, just like straight up sitting all day. So we have to really work to like undo that. But I feel like maybe, and again, maybe this it's not a scientific fact, maybe it is, I don't know. But I feel like the youth, they haven't lost that body awareness.
No, they can actually move. Most of them, I mean, obviously some of the kids there can't because they're already developing poor habits.
Poor habits,
But the way most kids or a lot of kids can move is just way better than any adult you'll see in class, right? Like Parker can sit in that squat. Parker sometimes sits in that squat for to eat dinner. Which I'm sure Celia or Evelyn can too, but we've really just developed those patterns over time. And it sets us back.
I think it's like anything. Like the sooner you can get into the youth with good physical or mental habits, the better. The more they'll be prepared, you know, for life. For him to go into jiu-jitsu and be like, oh, I love this. That's a testament in itself.
Did he also enjoy, does he also enjoy choking kids out? Potentially. Like, maybe.
But that's part of it. You know what I mean? That's part of it. It's a confidence builder. It's all rooted in that, right? You know, I don't know if it's even so much the fact that he's putting someone to sleep. It's more so the fact that he's capable. And the fact that he can control that capability.
I'll tell you what, it also teaches youth how to lose too. Because that's a another one, right? We I see a lot of kids nowadays, they hate losing so much, and and everybody's a winner. And that's because of the culture we built.
Because it's a fine line, right? I mean, you see adults, adolescents and adults the same way. And they're like, I hate to lose, I hate to, and I'm like, I get that. But there's a line where losing is necessary. You know what I mean? Because then you'll never win. And that's just a straight up truth. How many times have we said, that sounds cliche, but you know what I mean? It's the absolute truth. There's some lessons. So we are not, you know, we're a few years into practicing. We're blue belts, lowly blue belts. We're not qualified to give advice.
This is not, I would not say this is a jiu-jitsu advice podcast.
This is not, this is not a show for jiu-jitsu advice. What we can do is we can talk about our experiences, though, at white belt. And to the other white belts out there, maybe it'll offer them some, I was going to say comfort, but some confidence that it does get better with consistency and practice. So yeah, let's talk about our white belt journeys bit. Mine was pretty bumpy, man. I'm in a competition school. I'm in a very tough room at Martinez BJJ in Philadelphia, not too far from here. Very tough room. Just anybody that walks into Martinez, especially somebody that walks in and just sign a waiver to like hit the mats, that happened last week, I have great respect for. You know what I mean? Because we have a reputation. And
Now, do you have students there that are just like a mother of three, like a house, what do you call it?
Hobbyist?
Yeah.
I mean, to a degree, since I have yet to compete, I mean, I even consider myself a hobbyist, but
you're a hobbyist that goes hard.
So that's probably where I'm going.
People on the other end of the spectrum that
not really.
Everyone goes hard, like even the housewife of three or
whatever your background, whatever your responsibilities in life, whatever stage of life you're at. Like when you at Martinez, you go hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's infectious. Like when you walk in, you can feel it. You know, it's similar to Marquez. You walk into Marquez, you can feel what's going on there.
So my mom wanted to start jiu-jitsu, I wouldn't send her to Martinez.
I don't want to say no because your mom has the material to work hard, right? Like that's her, like she's a bit tenacious, man, I would say. Like she's got some tenacity in her. So I think Martinez would be a good fit. Yeah. If you're not going to come to work hard and give your best, not only for yourself on the mats, but for your teammates on the mats, then it's not the place for you. But I would argue that all schools should be that way.
I would agree. You know? Does anyone not train live if they're class, or does everyone train live?
Everybody trains live.
That's so, not to jump around here, but starting in September 5, then moved outside of the city, go to Gracie Baja, Newtown now. It's their culture is jiu-jitsu for everybody.
Yep.
So not,
yeah, a little bit
there's
different.
Only a, like, we'll have a class of 30 plus,
mm-hmm.
but only 10 to 15 of us stay for the live rolls after class.
Oh,
and
wow,
I'm really,
really
good after it. And only out of those 10 to 15, only 10 of us actually go hard.
So what do you do? Do you drill and then you do positional rounds and then
mm-hmm.
go live?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Positional rounds, not too many.
So how do you?
That'll be for a big class. And then there's different classes with different professors that.
Interesting.
Have we'll do like Mondays and Fridays. We'll have like more of a wrestling live, right? Yeah. Like live positionals.
I think that it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's relative, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you have to give and take, you know, what you need from the practice.
Yeah.
And I think maybe at your school.
Yeah.
That allows maybe hobbyists.
Yeah.
Right. To give and take in a way that's more comfortable for them.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, Martinez, we go hard, man.
Yeah,
everybody goes live. And, no rounds off.
Yeah.
No rounds off. I in the beginning, struggled. So, like, for years, I did endurance stuff, like, you know, cycling. Then I got into powerlifting and things like that. Like, so jiu-jitsu for me was something brand new. Like, that level of body awareness, I just didn't have. When I started,
it lets you know your deficiencies too. Yeah. Like I know that my main priority nowadays is core strength,
mm-hmm.
hip power. That's all. Not all I work on in the gym, but
yeah.
I'm always ending or starting on core strength, hip power, because that guard retention is top priority.
Yeah. So I just didn't have it. Like you've seen me squat and deadlift, and like I have very good awareness with those things.
Yeah.
This is very different.
Yeah.
So when I went in, I was a fish out of water for real. And that's how I kind of messed myself up.
Yeah.
You know, the first 6 months were a little bumpy for me.
With injuries.
First year, I would say. So yeah, I fractured my tooth because I wasn't wearing a mouth guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, stupid. And then I fractured one of my orbitals, you know, deep half, fractured an orbital. Then I fractured my other orbital. So I had two skull fractures. Like it was pretty wild. You know, everyone in my family was like, what are you doing to yourself? Why are you doing this? And
the fractured orbital was pretty bad too. Like it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They were nasty. I mean, fortunately no surgery, but they were nasty.
Yeah.
They were very nasty. And they're just like freak accidents.
Yeah.
You know, I put it on myself because I own it. Like if I was more body aware and I had more awareness to protect myself and in the position, instead of just advance.
Yeah.
These are the things you learn in the beginning. Instead of just consistently trying to advance,
mm-hmm.
then I would have been able to, you know, dodge them.
Knees,
but I wasn't able to, you know.
Exactly.
I was experimenting in positions that I don't think I was quite qualified for at the moment.
Yeah.
And I just caught some
deep
rough
half
stuff.
As at that point of the journey like, in which it happened to you, deep half is like a...
Yeah. Well, you know me, like how, you know how I work. Like I get a hold of a concept and I'm like,
the other day, a kid in class was, it was a bigger class on a Tuesday night. And he said, we were learning something. And he was like, does that move work with Kasakatami?
Yeah.
And he was a brand new white belt, like literally one stroke.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? Like, my brothers were like, what? He's like, cause the question really makes sense. And, for what he was asking it for.
Sure.
And he was like, well, I heard on YouTube. And he was like,
I mean, stop there. It's natural. I mean, nowadays it's what we're surrounded with, but like anything, I think that in-person instruction from someone that you trust, right? And keeping it simple is the way to go. You can go down the rabbit hole or the wormhole of all the 60-second instructionals on Instagram or whatever. It's not going to get you anywhere. Focus on the fundamentals.
I have about 100 saved instructional reels probably. And I've used about probably 1%.
1% is good odds, actually. I probably have 1,000. I've used 0%. I've used 0%. I'm big on fundamentals, man. So that's kind of where I'm sticking these days, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes. So shout out to Sean Brady for getting you started, for then by extension, getting me started. Mm-hmm. And then shout out to the Dawkus brothers, Chris and Kyle, for welcoming me into Martinez.
Yeah.
So, if it wasn't for Fuel Hunt, I wouldn't have found, one of the greatest loves of my life at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always said too, when you were before you started, you're like, I'm going to love this. You're like, I know I am.
It's just so challenging, and I love a challenge, like a physical and mental challenge. I love, and that, I think this is probably the pinnacle of physical and mental challenge wrapped into one.
Exactly. I was talking to my wife Amanda the other day, and I was like, I'm training jiu-jitsu all the time, 4 or 5 days a week. And I was like, Amanda, you would think I'd be good at this. Like, I go remember all the time. I mean, you would think I would tell you, oh, I just tapped like 10, 20 guys every night. And I was like, I feel as though that's the reason why I love jiu-jitsu so much, is because no matter even how good you are or bad you are, like, there's always someone better than you. Yeah. And you're always going to be humbled. And I think that's a constant, never-ending personal development tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why you and I love it so much.
Yeah. In life, you need, as humans, we need a certain amount of certainty and a certain amount of uncertainty.
Exactly.
And jiu-jitsu provides both to keep you engaged and like on the path.
I would love to be the guy just tap everybody out in the room, though. That would be nice.
I don't know if you would. I don't know if you would. Maybe for like a day. Maybe for a day.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe for a day. Yeah, maybe for a day. Would, so is there, from your journey from white belt to blue belt, are there a few things that you'd like to, because, well, let me rewind. We have so many eagles in the community that are starting to practice jiu-jitsu simply for the fact that we are a hard work and now like jiu-jitsu community as well. Yeah. Like, it kind of, a good portion of our community practices a martial art or MMA. So now our fellow eagles that did not practice martial arts previously are now being opened up to it and starting.
Yeah.
I don't know about you in the DMs, because you're in the DMs all the time, but I hear from eagles all the time. They're like, hey, look, you guys, the community, were so-and-so eagle in the community. I've been watching them, their journey in jiu-jitsu, and it's inspired me to start too. Yeah. I'm going to my first class, you know, this Thursday or whatever. I hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah. So many new white belts in the DMs that are just constant, like, and they go hard too. Like, they're these new white belts that are just starting out or just starting on the journey, they're like getting after it. And that's my one piece of advice before we get into this topic.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone just starting out, I let things get in the way of my training early on. And I always had Sean calling me like every other day. You train today. Like the one we posted, the eagle we posted last night.
Yeah.
But I needed that. And I'm usually the one holding everyone else accountable, right? Like, the people we are in life, being a leader, I'm always checking on people to make sure they're doing things that I know are going to better them. But I let myself make excuses, because obviously I would work out and do other things. But for some reason, I don't know if it's a subconscious thing or whatnot, but I let other things get in the way of my training, and I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
And
in the beginning, you're saying.
Yeah. And it's hard in the beginning too, because you know nothing. So it's not fun. Like, now it's fun for us because, yes, we get our lickings, but at least we know a thing or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And things are making sense, but nothing makes sense. And it just hurts. And
your first like 3 months of just depending on how often you're training, of just getting crushed in side control.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't feel great.
Exactly.
Doesn't feel great.
And, but now,
physically or mentally,
you still get crushed in side control, yes. But at least you know why you're getting crushed in side control.
Yeah.
So if I could go back, one thing I would change is that I would be as consistent as I am today then, because I probably would have been 10 times better than I am now.
Sure.
If I was.
Yeah, I'd echo that. One piece of guidance for community members that are just starting that I think is probably the core piece of guidance is consistency. Yeah. Like, train at least twice a week and don't miss.
Yeah.
You know,
At least.
Now I'm at 4 times, you know, a week. I would train more.
Do you think that's natural that you train more as you get further along the journey?
Oh, of course.
Because I've definitely seen some white belts, though, at my school that they're training a shit ton.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe not. But I don't know. It seems natural that it's like, oh, this is starting to make sense. These things are starting to unlock. Yeah. I'm starting to have a little bit of success. Yep. I'll train more. Yeah, I'll train more.
I think so. As long as, you know, you can put the pieces together in your life to facilitate the training, because it's time commitment, right? So other things have to change. It's like anything.
Yeah.
You know, the investment needs to be made. So you need to stop doing some things in order for you to train more.
Can't say yes to all things. Right. Say yes to one thing, you say no to something else.
Yep.
That is a challenge too for me, but like strength training and fitness training is that like you want to do all of them every day, but it's literally impossible.
Yep. I mean, candidly, like, I was flirting with sobriety for a little while, like not drinking anymore for like multiple years, actually, since 2020. And jiu-jitsu was one of the things that, if not the thing, that pushed me over the edge.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at my age, even just casual drinking once or twice a month, like, I can't afford that. I can't afford to be off my game because I want to be on the mats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and it almost gives you a why, right? Mm-hmm. Like a strong why can outlast anyhow. But that you actually have something to be in shape for now, or something to be at the peak of your fitness for. Mm-hmm. So the thought of putting anything in your body like that just doesn't seem, doesn't seem logical.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think you also really start to understand the difference between wants and needs, like what you actually need in life versus what you just want. Specifically when it comes to like material things, there's nothing wrong with material things, but I think jiu-jitsu teaches you very quickly that there are so many more things that are much more valuable than things of material that you may have wanted or desired previously.
Yeah.
Like when you practice for a little while and the human that you start to become, you realize your innate needs of, you know, wanting to be respected, wanting to be confident, capable, wanting to serve others, wanting to give respect to others. Like those needs, you become acutely aware of them and they start to, everything else starts to fall away.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So consistency, first and foremost, at least twice a week, right? You'd say for.
At least.
Yeah. And it sounds like I was super consistent right out of the gate because, like you said, in the beginning, I knew I was like, I'm going to love this.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it all the time. So I had that on my side. In the beginning, for you, it was a little rocky in the beginning before you settled in your consistency. Oh, yeah. I think that story is probably the story that most people will share. I like love pain. Yeah. It shouldn't be a surprise to you or to the Eagles that are watching and listening. So for me, in the beginning, I was just like, I'm into this, like whatever, like fractured orbital, floating cartilage in my ribs, you know, fractured tooth. I'm like, I'm there, you know? So consistency, first and foremost. Second thing that I would say is, it's kind of twofold. Have a singular goal or a singular thing that you want to work on every class. So don't go down the vortex of 60-second Instagram instructionals and pick out like all this complex stuff that you don't know how to do, and then you're going to go in there and try to hit it. Keep it simple. One thing per class that you're going to work on, right? Could be, you know, what's being taught that day.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's usually something else. It's usually something that was taught in a previous class that I know I need to work on. Mm-hmm. Or it could be something as simple as breathing.
Yeah.
You know, okay, today I'm going to go and I'm going to focus on my breathing. So have that singular goal. And to back that up, this is the second part of it, is for me, every time I hit the mats, the goal for me, and this is going to sound like one of those things, and I'm probably going to get some heat for it, but the goal for me is not, the goal for me is to learn, not to win.
Yeah.
Straight up. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not giving my best when I'm there, because my teammates know. They know. Sometimes I'm not the first on the mat because I'm a little late because I'm coming from HQ and it's a little crazy, but I'm always the last leaf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But my goal is to learn. Go in there, work hard, give my best to not only my teammates but myself and learn from it, not to win.
Yeah.
So complete removal of ego, I think, is really what it comes down to.
That's a good advice, too, for someone just starting, too, because
yeah.
Those new guys come in, they try and rip everybody's heads off.
It's like, natural, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's natural.
I was that guy.
Plus, you know, you're in a state of, you know, fight and flight, like literally, like your nervous system is like, especially if you're new to this, like you're being attacked by another full-grown human. You're like, what is going on here? Your knee-jerk reaction is to win.
Yeah.
Survive, right? Yeah. But that was one of the biggest learnings for me, like no pun intended, when I sat there and said, okay, I'm going to focus on one thing per class. Could be as simple as breathing, not losing my S when I'm in, getting crushed inside control. You know, breathe through my belly, try to make space, you know what I mean? And also that I'm not there to win, I'm there to learn. And with learning comes winning. Like, that's the way I look at it. Oh, like, I will learn every day, and then every once in a while, I will win.
Yep.
But the getting crushed and getting tapped teaches me more than the winning ever did.
Yeah.
I'm almost disappointed now. Like, I love it when I go and I have a good class.
Yeah.
When, you know, I'm in a winning position most of the time.
Yeah.
But I also kind of feel a little deflated. Right. I kind of feel a little deflated afterwards, you know?
There's a good follow on Instagram, Max Hugh, Jiu-Jitsu Hugh. You know him?
No, no.
He mainly focuses on white belt movements, but he, like you said, like focus on an objective rather than trying to win the round.
Yes.
And a couple of things he says, like, maintaining inside position, working inside end of levers, and also getting your knees to your chest when you're on bottom, like any way you can.
Yep.
Like those big three things.
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, so huge shout out just for Jiu-Jitsu Hugh.
Got you. Got you. So how about another, so you just gave us a couple from him. How about any other advice you have?
Yeah, I was going to go with that.
What else out there?
Like you said, not trying to win every round, because being that guy, that super aggressive, spazzy guy when that just walks in and wants to literally kill everybody without any type of skill or knowledge of the martial art, right? Like, that guy can get, it could just be the person that everyone turns down the roles with, right? Like, you don't want to be that guy in the gym that's ripping submissions too hard or even just being too spazzy and aggressive. So I would say, like you said, focus on learning the martial art, learning how to do things.
I think there's a way that you can kind of like do both, right?
Yeah.
Like you can come from, you have to know your partners, your training partners, right? And as you're there longer and longer, you know, not just their game, but you know the speed with which they work and how they work. So you can work with them and you can dial up the level of aggression a little bit, but you can do it in such a way where you're not a spaz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I was the spazzy in the sense of taking things to another level. We'll say like go hard level. Like,
I got you.
Like, you definitely go hard, but like the guys we've talked about at our respective.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I need jiu-jitsu. I've said that to you before. Like, I need it for my well-being at this point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick and choose my partners, you know. Most of the, fortunately, at my school, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm out in the open, you know what I mean? I'm gonna pick and choose my partners because I want to practice till the end of my days.
Exactly.
Like, my goal is to have my black belt one day.
Yeah,
decades, you know? So you're in it for the long haul, too.
Exactly. The key is longevity in the sport, too, right?
Yeah. Well, that actually hits on the third thing, final thing that I wanted to mention, and I kind of hit on it a bit ago about, you know, sobriety and not drinking and things like that. Like, one thing I think that's overlooked is everything that you do outside of your school affects what you're going to do inside your school, your training, your nutrition, mm-hmm. everything. And if you want, if you're having a, if you're having an issue with consistency with your diet or your training, like strength training,
yeah,
get into jiu-jitsu because it'll fix it real quick.
Yeah.
Because you start to become very aware
yeah.
of the small decisions you make on a daily basis that impact who you are when you show up to the mats.
And that would apply to almost anything in life, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's why I live the way I do, and where some people think I'm crazy, but for those of you who don't know, like, from a, for lack of a better word, a biohacking perspective, like, I like to focus mm-hmm. a lot of my effort, energy, and attention on my health and doing things to improve it.
Yeah.
It's because I have a lot I want to be sharp for, a lot I want to be good for. I want to show up every day for you, my mm-hmm. family, and jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. the best possible version of myself. So when people ask me, like, oh, why are you going to eat pizza?
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah. It's at, what you just said sounds really familiar. Like, basically the three things I do in yeah. life: family, fuel, hunt,
yeah, jiu-jitsu. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, I was talking to Dane about that before the episode. I was like,
yep.
That's literally all we do. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah. And we want to be totally optimized and yeah. enjoy being totally optimized for those three things.
You know? Exactly.
Serve our family, mm-hmm. serve our community, right? Serve our teammates on the mats.
As the few do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mentioned earlier that jiu-jitsu is the ultimate personal development program. Mm-hmm. You said you agree, right?
I would definitely agree.
We have needs as humans, right? Certain core needs. And depending on who you subscribe to, they're described a little bit differently,
yeah.
right? I'm a big Maslow guy. Are you familiar with Maslow? Maslow's no. hierarchy of needs.
Yes,
American, yeah, that, yeah. American psychologist, humanist, person that, you know, how can I describe, sees the positive and the best in people, believes that they're inherently worthy, also believes that the goal in life is an understanding of self, right? And then to eventually transcend self.
Yeah.
So I have Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I was
here.
Wondering what the
I have
it was for.
I have this here. I have, in case you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, and this is how we'll close the show, exactly why jiu-jitsu, I believe jiu-jitsu is the ultimate personal development program.
Hit me.
Yeah. So we're gonna go through the hierarchy of needs, and you tell me, like, agree or disagree that jiu-jitsu meets this need.
Yeah.
We'll do a little, you know, we're just yeah. going to do a little back and forth here.
We just do a game every other episode. Yeah. So.
All right, so if you are not familiar with the hierarchy of needs, it starts, it's a triangle, right? It's pyramid,
yeah.
and it has a base, and then it moves all the way up into self-actualization and then also self-transcendence, right?
Yeah.
So we'll take a little tour through the pyramid and talk about jiu-jitsu at each level of the pyramid. Just to really hammer home yeah, my point as to why it's the ultimate personal development program. I used to say entrepreneurship is, but we won't go down that
you
rabbit
did.
Hole.
Used to say that,
and I still believe it is. But I think that there's a really strong case that jiu-jitsu is. So if yeah. you're looking, and if you're listening or you're watching right now, you're looking to grow.
Yeah,
like that's what Fuel Hunt is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you're looking to grow as a person for yourself and those you love, you should consider jiu-jitsu, and this is why. All right, so let's start at the bottom. There's a physiological tier, right, which is like breathing, food, water, sleep, like the base needs, right, deficiency needs, right?
Yeah.
I believe that jiu-jitsu, practicing jiu-jitsu, meets those needs because it forces you to dial them in,
yeah.
like we were just talking about, right?
I would agree. And you also learn how to do things like breathe under pressure or breathe
yes.
when you have a 200-pound man on top of you. Like.
Right, right, exactly. So, you know, food, water, sleep, breath
and
work.
And you occasionally some... get put to sleep.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly. If you choose not to sleep well and yeah. have great sleep hygiene at yeah. home, you will get put to sleep exactly. on the mat.
Exactly.
So we will check that box too. So that's an easy one.
That
would have
been the best layup I've ever gotten out of you.
Yeah, it was clever. it was very clever, dude. And I'm kind of like, man, how did I not see that? You know what I'm saying? It was very clever. All right, next tier of the pyramid here. Again, this is kind of a this is probably going to seem obvious to you, right? Yeah. As we go through these, but I really wanted to hammer the point home. Next tier of the pyramid is safety. Right. So this is security of body, family, health, property, things like that.
Yep.
Undoubtedly, jiu-jitsu not only gives you the feeling of safety, but also prepares you to keep yourself and your family safe, oh, yeah. your property, everything.
Yeah. That's why I wanted Parker to get into jiu-jitsu so bad. Mm-hmm. My son. Is because you see all these videos of these kids fighting nowadays. And again,
yep.
you could argue that it's always been like that and we just see it now or whatnot. But I was I'm going to make sure this kid can yep. defend himself because I didn't have the greatest high school experience because I was, I was bullied and
yep.
afraid at times too. Like if I was, but I know that he'll have the confidence to at least stand up for himself.
Yeah. Bro, I got my lunch fed to me over and over again. Yeah. In school,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I was, you know, growing up a little bit nerdy. I was well liked,
yeah,
but I was a little bit nerdy, man. And like bullies, like they can smell that on
exactly.
people, you know, and if like the kids that beat my tail in, I can't even say, I can't curse, that beat my tail in every day, you know, they had like rough situations at home and they were looking to escape the pain and make other people feel that pain to level out. And dude, I got my lunch fed to me for years, man, you know, and it did a number on me. So I think of that too with my girls, you know, getting them involved in jiu-jitsu this summer because I want them to feel, not only feel safe, but have the capability to keep themselves
exactly.
and those they love safe.
Exactly.
You know? All right, next. So no objections so far.
Yeah, no.
We're going through this pyramid. We're checking all these boxes and basically – if you want to distill it down to one word, it's like fulfillment.
Yeah.
Feeling fulfilled as a human.
Yeah.
Right? So let's take the next tier of the pyramid here. Love and belonging. Specifically, you know, we can focus on belonging with friendship and family.
100%. And the one thing I say about relationships in general, I said it to you the other day, but it's my belief that the people you grow the closest with are the people that you overcome adversity with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I believe my marriage is so strong, our friendship is so strong, our brotherhood is so strong. Mm-hmm. And the relationships with the people you train with every day are so strong is because every day you come in and you're all battling adversity together mm-hmm. and doing hard things together.
Yep.
So I would agree with that one.
I would agree. I think that's probably, you know, physiological, from the physiological standpoint and the safety standpoint, they're definitely like boxes that are checked, you know, but this belonging, you know, every human has the natural need to belong. And I think jiu-jitsu does an amazing job of satisfying that need when you show up consistently. And it's because of what you go through together. You go through adversity on the mats, right?
Yeah.
And that definitely bonds you together. But there's another, I think there's another aspect to it. And that is the fact that everybody that shows up that day, each and every one of your teammates that shows up on that mat, they're not having the best day ever.
No.
There was adversity before they walked in the door of the school, but they all chose to overcome it, to get to school, to go through more of it with you and me and the other teammates.
Yep.
So I think that's like cement, man.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's like cement. So it's the adversity on the mats, but it's also what you've overcome to get to the mats that day. You know, so from a friendship and a family and a belonging and bonding standpoint, I think that, you know, jiu-jitsu checks that box.
Yeah.
Crazy checks the box. When you do something super hard, especially when you're literally fighting another full-grown human, when you do something super hard together like that, there's a lot of energy release. And I that's what I believe bonds people together. It's that release of energy. It's the same for the Few Fest.
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I was going to make this point, too. Parker did a tournament. Not to talk about Parker the whole time, but he did a tournament a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid that he was in the first place match with, after, as they were walking up to the podium, he like kind of like gave him like a pat on the back, like a little hug.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because there was a mutual respect between two boys that were doing something super hard together, just trying to literally enforce their will on each other. But after it was over, it was like, okay, like, I have a respect for you. Or like, and they had a bond and they had just met, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think it accelerates that bond, much like any other, if you want to say sport or anything like that.
Yeah.
I would say accelerates that bond between competitors.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing to have that bond with your teammates, but between competitors, I think that more than any other sport, really.
Yeah, it's like in the UFC, you see those guys, like after, like a lot of times, they've just been beefing up until the fight, and then after the fact, they're hugging it out, and we're like, oh, why are they so lovey-dovey after the fight? Because there's a mutual respect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know that there are, no pun intended, or pun intended, there are a few people that will do what they just did, right? And that's at, I think, any level, but especially at the professional level.
Yeah.
There are a few people out there that will do what they just did. So why would they not respect each other for
that? Exactly. Yeah.
All right, we're climbing higher, dude. We're climbing higher, period. All right, next layer is esteem, right? So this is confidence, self-esteem, respect of others, respect of self. Achievement, things like that. Does jiu-jitsu check that box?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, there is a lot of showing up and not having success, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that the times you do have success make up for all of those, like, all of those beatings. Yeah.
Do you believe that you can be confident without going through adversity?
Literally, no.
Can you feel achievement without going through adversity?
Literally,
can you have a high opinion of yourself, a real one, not this, like, you know, manufactured, only God can judge me mentality?
No, it's impossible.
You can't have the things at this layer of the pyramid without going through the adversity.
Yeah,
I want to say other words, but I can't swear.
No,
I'd right?
Agree.
You can't.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So, I've never felt more confident in my life than I have over the past few years of practicing jiu-jitsu.
I would agree.
And we've both done notable things in our lives, right? We didn't go into jiu-jitsu completely unconfident, but the level of confidence that I've received from jiu-jitsu is a level that I've never experienced in my life before. No matter what I did.
I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah.
It's like we, I remember, and this was a cringy thing I said, but we were talking about like Thanksgiving like 2 years ago. I literally just got like my first stripe.
Yeah.
And I was like, Amanda, like, how's it feel to know that I could like kill your whole family? Like with my bare hand.
That's hilarious.
And she was like, "Drew, you're just a white belly."
Bruno's gonna write a skit about that. Yeah. He probably already has one.
Yeah, and I see all the video, the reels and stuff. It's like the one stripe white belly. That was me.
Listen.
But Amanda says back to me, she's like, "No, you couldn't. Drew, you're just a fucking white belt. Like, what are you talking about?"
I feel like I just had this conversation with actually I think it was two members of the community, two Eagles that just got their first stripe. There's something like that first, I was calling it the first stripe feeling.
Yeah.
There's something about that first stripe feeling. And I think it really is because it's brutal, man. It is a grind in the beginning. Yeah. It is brutal, especially with no experience coming in, just like with no experience, even if you have experience with endurance and strength training stuff, this is a whole nother animal. So the first time going back, right, to, I don't want to advance, but the esteem part of the pyramid, right? Mm-hmm. Like recognition, right? Acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Achievement, like going back to that stuff. That first stripe is the epitome of it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because it's such a grind for so many months.
I agree. And there's so many jokes about it because it was all of us, right? Yeah. Like
like there's similar jokes at the blue belt level. Because then you get to the blue, you get your blue belt and it's like, okay, well, you know, now I feel like people make the same jokes.
I would agree. My ego is fully checked.
Fully checked. There's been days where I want to demote myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to hand it back in.
I see all
or take the stripes off.
All the jokes about blue belt nowadays are about like just quitting. I refuse to be that guy.
Yeah. I've had a very good, like, so at least with my teammates that I started with at Martinez, there has been a very, very low, like super low quit factor. Like,
even the ones you got promoted with?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like the guys and gals that I started practicing with at white belt, we all kind of started around the same time.
Yeah.
And we have our blue belts now. We're pretty much all going strong.
Yeah.
Few people like change jobs and things, so you know they're
moved or something.
Yeah, moved or whatever. So it's been difficult for them to get in. But other than that, like the quitting has been almost non-existent.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is powerful in itself.
I would say that I've been at GB for about a year now, and I would say a lot of the blue belt. I can only think of a few offhand, maybe like one or two that have fallen off.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah
that's good. So let me ask you a question: the ones that didn't fall off, are they going live?
Oh yeah, that's the ones that don't
it's
go.
Part
live,
of the glue.
The ones that it's don't go glue, live dude. Don't really make it to blue belt.
Yeah, it's part of the glue.
You know,
don't make.
They're just forever white belts, and they're just kind of just like hobbyists. But and maybe they'll get their blue belt one day.
Yep.
Just for a sheer amount of time that they've spent on the mats. Like I don't know. Like it's a. And I thought about it too. I was like, does everyone want the same things out of jiu-jitsu? Right? Does everyone want to?
I think like anything in life, man, it's relative, and it's not to like distill it down to a point where there aren't standards.
Yeah.
Like whenever I say it's relative, I think some people take that as like, oh, well, there's no standards all of a sudden, like everybody can. No, not at all. But in reality, yes, people come for different to school for different reasons and practice for different reasons.
And it's like we were saying on the Few Want Social and Few Want Rise last night. Or the Few Want Rise social, where we all get together on first Sunday of every night virtually and just chat it up. But I believe, especially now, that your belt is simply a testament to your time spent in the martial art and knowledge of the martial art. And I don't think it's fair to hold an 80-year-old woman to the same standards. Not that I don't think it's fair. I don't know if it's possible to compare an 8-year-old woman to a 20-year-old college wrestler.
Yeah, I think a good school and a good professor knows that in order to earn and achieve, like you have to show up every day, give your best. Like I've been saying, give your best for your teammates and for yourself every day, and then recognize that appropriately, depending on
where you're at. Me saying that is gospel. That's my belief.
Yeah,
it's from what I observe.
Sure.
Nowadays.
Sure. All right, let's get to the tip top of this pyramid here to tie the self. Self-actualization is at the top of the pyramid. So I'm going to give you some of the terms that describe this level, right, of being. So creativity, spontaneity, problem solving, lack of prejudice, acceptance, and I love this one, acceptance of facts, which I think you actually get a little bit of that, you know, in the very beginning of your journey, where you come in and you say, hey, look, like, this is who I thought I was. At least I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, no.
This is who I thought I was. This is who my ego was telling me I was.
That's the truth.
A strong guy that can hold my own, that has great endurance, blah, blah, blah. And quickly, I accepted the fact.
You got yoked up by a 14-year-old girl, didn't you?
I got my first, you know, you want to call it trial class, whatever. I didn't even look at it as trial, like I was all in. But my first class, I was 200, 205.
Damn.
So I was,
what are you now, like 170?
170. So I was like 200, 205. Different goals then.
Different nutrition,
like different things. No jiu-jitsu. But anyway, I was like 205. I was a relatively strong guy. Still had good endurance. And I just got washed by like 140-pound 20-year-old great dude, great teammate, by the
still
way.
Still training?
Yeah. And I just got like washed, you know, maybe 160, I don't know. Definitely way smaller than me.
Was he also a white belt at the time?
Uh-huh. A couple stripes.
and just like that's
triangle, the, triangle city, dude. The triangle depth, city.
The level of skill between a trial test guy and a three-stripe white belt, though, it's crazy, I think.
Yeah. So I accepted the fact quickly that I was not who my ego was telling me to be. And that was the beginning of whatever I had left of ego. Like my ego's been pretty checked my entire life. I think because I just do hard stuff all the time and it's always checking it. Yeah. But whatever I had left of my ego died that day.
Yeah.
It died that day. So I accepted quickly that fact. So acceptance of facts, definitely. I say checks the box there. Creativity, spontaneity, problem solving. Like, come on, man. Like, it demands like in-process problem solving.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And we're not talking like my tire's flat. How do I change it?
No.
We're talking like I have no air in my lungs. How do I change that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So you would agree, self-actualization.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add to that because that is, I would say, verbatim, all the things.
Spontaneity. So creativity and problem solving definitely in there. You know, that's obvious. Spontaneity, though. This goes back to what we were saying earlier with like uncertainty.
Yeah.
You know, like you need a certain level of uncertainty in life to keep you engaged, right?
Yeah.
And that spontaneity. And it provides that because not only are you constantly learning and evolving in jiu-jitsu, but so are your teammates.
Yeah. And you also don't know what roles you're going to get that day, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't know who you're going to be rolling with after class or who's going to be at class.
Yep.
So,
or if you're competing.
Yeah, like, so you have to be ready for all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. And that just, it keeps you sticky to the art, but it also keeps you growing. Like, this is what it's all about. Like, if you're going to grow, you've got to accelerate through all the different levels of this pyramid and realize all the different levels of this pyramid. Mm-hmm. And again, like, making the case that jiu-jitsu is the way.
Yeah.
Like, the ultimate personal development or growth program.
Okay.
Outside of, so Maslow, I think like on his deathbed, he was like, hey, by the way, there's like another pinnacle, like there's another piece of this pyramid and it's self-transcendence.
Yeah.
I think that the way he described it was that, you know, you're no longer concerned with success of self. You're more so concerned with the success of your offspring, using that term loosely, not like, you know, just like your children, but also those around you, right? So that transcendence and saying like, it's not about me is a complete checking of ego. At least that's the way I look at it. And you showing up to give your best to your team, knowing that when you give first, your get will come when the time is right. You know, rule of the few, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get, give.
I would say, coming full, like that, I kind of had a when you said that, because I feel as though as you get higher in the ranks and these black belts, like professors, they pour into their students and they care more about your success than their success. So that actually is 100% on point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I see that at Martinez with Will and Lamont. All the time, Lamont, you know, is my, he doesn't like to be called professor, so but I'll call him professor.
That's a GB thing, dude. It's
on a week-by-week basis. And he actually, on Fridays, we don't have class. He'll come in at the same time on Friday and just free to give his time to like three or four of us because he wants to see us level up.
That's cool.
You know? So ultimate service.
Yeah.
You know, and transcendence of self. So this was a fun episode, man.
Oh yeah, I knew we were gonna. I was nervous because I was like, oh, I don't want to come through as a.
No, I mean
as a knowledge base on jiu-jitsu, but.
I mean, at the end of the day, we know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We're just simply our accounts.
Yeah, our accounts of the journey thus far, man. Thus far, we admit that. We know nothing. We know we've got some things figured out, I think, appropriate for our level.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, we really don't know nothing. And that's the best part about this.
Yep.
You know, it's what makes the journey worthwhile.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. We just did the Jits and Giggles podcast recently. with Elisa. Do we have any funny stories? Do you have any funny stories from jiu-jitsu? I'm so serious. I have no funny stories from jiu-jitsu. But do you? Do you have any funny jiu-jitsu stories?
No, not a lot of funny. I mean, there is some fun in the chats, the after class. Speaking of part-time jiu-jitsu, the first time I see any of Bruno's reels, yeah. It was the one that came up for me in my search or whatever, but he like walks in with his tag. He's like, all right, Razor, I'll see you next week.
Sewer Rat Razor.
He's like, let me know when the wedding is. She's like, who the hell's Razor? It's like me returning 3 hours after I said I'd be home.
Yeah.
So that was such a funny one.
I mean, there's a lot of truth in his skits with what we talked about here, right? Esteem, confidence, belonging. You know, that's all like in the skits.
Yeah.
And it's humor, and they're funny. But like the reality of it is so true.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's growing and doing so well, because he's using humor and it really hits because there's so much truth in it. There's so much truth in it. Yeah. Yeah. I really have nothing else to add. I'm glad that you entertained my little game here going through the pyramid. Yeah. And these are the things I think of like at 10 p.m. at night. I'm sitting here thinking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how it relates to jiu-jitsu.
We said we were doing the BJJ episode, and you pulled out your remarkable and had a pyramid on. I was like, what is going on?
You know, I like to keep it. I can't use the word spicy because I found out that doesn't mean what I thought it meant.
Yeah, not anymore.
I like to keep it
fresh.
Fresh. I like to keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
Yeah, there
Thank
you go.
Thank you for that. I need someone to do that.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah, I think we should tie this up. Now Ernest is here with us, so we didn't talk about him much, but he's here at least, so I don't have to hear it for him not being on the show. He'll be here. I just, as I looked at you to tie up, I saw him and he was looking at me with that one eye.
Yeah.
Like that one eye, it's just got like a thing.
The paint job on this thing could definitely use some work.
Well, he's been through a few fests. He's going to be, obviously with us for the second few fests, so there's going to be a little bit of wear and tear on him. He hasn't been dropped yet, which is good. Yeah. But
looks like the yellow from his beaks kind of.
I think that's basically from being carried.
Okay.
Yeah, from being carried and just being.
No offense.
Hugged gently. Yeah, you better apologize. All right, man, we're gonna tie this up. I will leave the few with a reminder. Why don't you sign off?
No, you got it.
You want me to?
Yeah. All right. Because I have to think about it before I do it, and I just don't.
You got a tattoo on the back of your eyeballs, man.
Exactly.
Yes, I'll leave a few with a reminder until next time. Always choose hard work over handouts. Always choose effort over entitlement. No one owns you. No one owes you. You're one of the few. Now let's hunt.